Okay, so the last thing we said was Rav Shmuel Rozovsky's idea, and it's not, he's not the only one who has this idea. There's other makoros, the Netzivan Chumash has like this, others have like this, that when Rav Huna is saying that the Gol Adam is not Chayiv Misa for killing the Rotzeach, he is a murderer for killing the Rotzeach. He had no right whatsoever to kill the Rotzeach, but he is considered honest Rachmana Patre, that he is not going to be held accountable mitzad the punishment. That ad kidei kach, like we had examples of, we spoke this out earlier, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei Torah says that if, let's say, a guy puts a gun to your head and he says, worship of Avodah Zarah, I'll kill you, so what's the halacha? What? No, if you end up doing it, so we say, you're not chayiv misa because of Anas Rachmana Patri. But did you worship Avodah Zarah? Of course you worshiped Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says, Lashon mischayiv benafsho. You're chayiv misa for doing it, but we're not going to actually kill you in Beis Din because you are honest, right? So what we said also yesterday turns out, if you learn like this, then if you see the Gol Adam going to kill the Rotzeach, so you have a chiyuv to try to save the Rotzeach, right? You have a chiyuv to try to save him, and if it even comes to it, you have to kill the Gol Adam to save the Rotzeach. Although Rav Shmuel Rozovsky doesn't write like that, but I have no idea why not. It doesn't really explain why he doesn't hold that way. Okay, that's a simple pshat in Rav Huna where he talks about if you kill the Rotzeach on the way to the Ir Miklat, you're not chayiv, right? That's Rav Huna's shita. And really, it's not relevant whatsoever to the Machlokes Tanaim later on. Because what's the Machlokes Tanaim talking about over there? No, but what's the case? Right, if he leaves the Ir Miklat and he goes chutz l'tchum of the Ir Miklat, so then it's a machlokis whether it's a reshus or a mitzvah to kill the Rotzeach. But there, you could argue, that's a totally different story. There, why is the Rotzeach going to be killed? What? Because he violated this Isser of leaving the Ir Miklat. He violated the din. He's supposed to stay in the Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. He came out, and he was, quote-unquote, you could say, matir atzma lemisa. He, dafka, was matir himself to be killed. And thus, the Rotzeach, either as a mitzvah or a reshus, to kill the Gol Adam, and everyone else, we'll talk about what the din is by everybody else, because it's two yourselves in Rabbi Akiva. Right? According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's a reshus for everybody else, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's either eno nerag or nerag. We're not sure what the din for Rabbi Akiva is. Yeah. That's possible. That's definitely possible. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, saying that Beis Din Paskin, he's chayev to go to Golis. He leaves to go to Golis. Now there's a mitzvah for the Gol Adam to kill him because he's carrying out the sentence, and apparently the punishment for violating your sentence of going to the Ir Miklat is Misa. You could say that. Okay. So let's go back again. We had a bunch of questions that we had here on Rav Huna. So we said, is Rav Huna relevant to the Machlokes Tanaim later on? So according to this Mahalach, the answer is absolutely not. He's not relevant to that Machlokes, because here, there isn't really a din that the Rotzeach, that the Gol Adam is supposed to kill the Rotzeach at all. It's just a tour from Misa, if he did it. Right? And would it matter when we were talking about? Would it matter if it was talking about the first time he goes to Golis or the second time he goes to Golis? Not at all. Right? Because the first time he goes to Golis, so granted that the Gol Adam is lacking in some evidence, right? But essentially, if we can prove the Maisa took place, or man, I don't know, it's an interesting question. Let me just hold off on that question for 1 second. If we can prove the Maisa took place and the Rotzeach Dafka did kill the Nirtzach, who was the relative of the Gol Adam, so we say that the Gol Adam was so angry that his begeder on his Rachmana Patre. Now, I was going to ask, let's say the Rotzeach didn't actually commit the murder and the Gol Adam just thought he committed the murder. And then the Gol Adam kills him. Is he chayev now? What would Rav Huna say about that? I mean, he didn't go to Beis Din for the second time. There was no edus. He was on his way to Beis Din. He was on his way to the Ir Miklat for protection until he goes to the court. and the Rotzeach finds him and kills him. And it turns out, had he gone to Beis Din, he would have not been found accountable for the murder at all. They would have said the whole thing was somebody else, or the guy just died. We have no raya's. So what do you think? No, not at all. Not at all. Because here we're going within the idea that it's just a tour of Ones. It's not because the Gol Adam had the right to kill him. He violated an Isser Vetzicha. Right? So what would be the din here? Would he be Potter? I think no way. I think he would be Chayef for that. I think that, for example, the Makor that I brought yesterday from the Chuvas Ma'arivayel, quotes from the Ma'arach Rezarua, that says that Pasuk Ki Yicham Levavo, that he got so angry because of the murder. So he's saying, what was the case over there? It was basically that two guys were in a fight. One guy hit the other guy, and the second guy cursed him and embarrassed him and got people to believe something bad about him. So then the guy wanted to collect boshes, and the Ma'arach Rezarua paskind, you're not allowed to collect the boshes in this case, because we learn from Ki Yecham Levavo that if someone does something to anger you to that extent, then you are putter from onshim. Doesn't give you the right to do it, but you're considered anus l'inyan, the onesh of what you did, and therefore he doesn't have to pay boshes. But what happened there? The first guy actually hit him. Let's say he just perceived it as such, and he got so angry because he's paranoid, or because he thought something happened one way, but really it didn't. So who says you have the right to get angry enough that you're going to be together on this Rechmana Patre for cursing the guy?
Once you bring over that concept in this case, you're never, on the way that you're living on the first time, you never know for sure if he's
made it. So what comes out is a big nafkamina. You would have to then have a court case to see whether the Gol Adam's Chayev Misa, and the evidence to whether or not you'd be Chayev Misa is, would the first guy have been Chayev Golas? Or at least, would he have been begeder, someone who killed Beshogeg or Karav Lemezid, meaning even if he would have been Potter from Golas, because he's Karav Lemezid, so then I still think you could use the heter of Ki Yicham Levavo that he's Potter from killing him because of Anas Rechmana Patri. You have every right to be just as angry if the guy killed he was Karav Lemezid. He thinks he knows. So that's a big... So there are a lot of things in life that are very important that we think we know, and it's important to find out whether or not they're true. So if it turns out that we were right and they were true, so we're good to go. If it turns out that we're wrong and we've been living a lie, so that's a major problem. It's not Lamafreya. We're going to examine the case like we would any other court case, find out the circumstantial issues, and determine whether or not the guy's Chayav Misa. And if it turns out that the other guy did kill his relative Beshogeg, then he's Potter from Misa. If it turns out that the guy didn't kill his relative Beshogeg, or at least that there's no halachically valid way in which the Gol Adam ascertained that the guy committed the act of Ritzicha Beshogeg, so the Gol Adam had no right to get angry. Who told you to get angry at this guy? Well, you just wake up one morning and say, I hate this guy so much, I'm so angry at him, I'm just going to kill him. Saying, so then it's Anas Rechmana Patre every time? It's not true. You don't have the right to kill somebody just because you decided to get angry at him. If the guy did something to make you angry, and you then responded inappropriately, so okay, you're Chayev Misa in Shemayim, but you're not going to be Chayev Misa on this world. But if you just decided to act inappropriately based on your own anger, we don't recognize that as valid. Now, there's tons of things. Let's say some guy, he hates the way people say good morning to each other. He just thinks that whatever, or goodbye, I'll give you a better answer, goodbye, because he thinks that goodbye is a Christian idea, because goodbye is actually Rosh Hashanah for God be with ye. That's actually true. So goodbye is Rosh Hashanah, God be with ye. And who were the Anglo-Saxons who made these Rosh Hashanahs? They were speaking Latin and you know, derivatives of Latin. They were old Christians. So when they say goodbye, they say God be with ye. So they mean the Christian God. They don't mean Ribbono Shalom. So he gets very angry when anybody says goodbye. I'm just giving an example. So you hear the lumdus a little bit, you know, the same way, you know, you could get angry if you say Sunday. Why is it called Sunday? Monday? Tuesday, I'm not sure why it's called, but maybe somebody knows. Right? Thursday, And Saturday, I got. Thursday is for the Norse god Thor, right? The excellent comic book character. And the Sunday is for the sun god. Monday is for the moon god. Tuesday, I don't remember. Wednesday, I used to think it was because of Vesula Nisi Siyom Ravi, so that's why it's called Wednesday. But I don't think that's actually true. Vesula Nisi Siyom Ravi, that the din is that, that you're supposed to get married on Wednesday. But I don't think that's actually true. And Saturday is for the god Saturn. So somebody gets, hey, how dare you say Saturday? It's Yom HaShavas Kodesh, right? And how dare you say Sunday? That's Avodah Zarah. Call it Sunday? It's Kavod Shabbos, fine. That's why we say it in the Shir Shel Yom, by the way. The Shir Shel Yom in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. That's from the Shloah Kaddish. Shloah Kaddish writes that we should say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos as a way of fulfilling the din of Kavod Shabbos all year, all week long. That we count the days as they correspond to the upcoming Shabbos. Right? But that's not, there's no, in a kiyum of saying the Shir Shel Yom, there's no inyan to say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, etc. Right, that's why I forgot who says this one. I saw in one of the Siddurim that he says that there's definitely l'chol adeus, there's no inyan before you start saying Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos to say Hayom Yom Shabbos Kodesh Shabbos Yom Reveis HaMikdash. If the whole reason that you say Hayom Yom is to give kavod to the Shabbos, the fact that you're saying Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos is already gufa the kavod HaShabbos that you said to say Hayom Yom Shabbos Kodesh doesn't add anything. All right, so if that's the meaning. It certainly doesn't subtract anything if you do it. But, you know, just good to know in the back of your mind. So it's one of those halacha v'lola maisa things. You know, like standing when the aron is open. You know what I'm talking about? Where's the din? Are you supposed to stand when the aron is open? Nowhere. Anyway, so there is no such din. And even if there would be a din, the Taz writes that if the aron is four tfachim by four tfachim, then it constitutes a sheer makom on its own. And there's no, and it's ki'ilu, the Torah is in another room. It's ki'ilu, the aron is closed. So really, you don't have to stand up when the aron is open. But if you're from Jew, you stand up when the aron is open. What's wrong with you? You know? So halach of lola maisa, you know? What? Yeah, that's a din. When the Torah is being taken out and moving around, you have a chiyuv to stand up. That's a real din. Okay, lamaisa, when you see the aron open up, you stand up. Okay, that's not, it's not, you know, you could know in your mind, oh, you know, ha ha ha, I know better. But like, when you see the aron open, stand up.
It's like a shear, like a special shear, like you open the aron, like you stand. You're standing the shear, not like for the whatever. Like
maybe. Okay. Shear. That's fair. Okay. I'm saying certain parts of the davening you might have to stand for anyway, so they open up the aron too. Fine, but that's not. You're not standing because the aron is open.
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, so getting back to this, so. It's not so pashut that the rotzeach has a right, the gol adam has a right to just get angry for no reason, right? So let's say the guy, the mashal I was giving is, so the guy doesn't like it when you use the names of days of the week, and he has a svara for why he has a right to get angry. So if he comes over to you and kills you for that because he's so angry, he thinks you're an ovid avodah zarah, right? He comes over to you and kills you because he's so angry that you did that. So now he's not chayav misa. Of course he's chayav misa. Who told you to get so angry about it? You decided? Okay, so don't decide. Who told you to get so mad about it? You're allowed to just get angry over anything you want and be machmed about anything you want? Sometimes the guy who's angry is wrong. Sometimes the guy who made him angry is wrong, and sometimes the guy who's angry is wrong. Now, if you know the guy gets angry every time you do it, you don't have to do it to him. That's already possible onoas dvarim, that you're using your words to insult him and get him angry. But, okay, so try to be more careful. But you have the right to act normally. Right, we spoke about this in Bava Kamma. We talked about if you're doing something b'shus mitzvah, b'shus, right? You guys remember this? B'shus beizdin. You have the right to act normally, and if the other guy trips and falls on your normal setup, that's his problem. Right? You did it b'shus. Like the Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this with brothers. He talks about whether a younger brother is allowed to get married before an older brother. Right, so he goes through the whole whatever, he goes through the whole discussion, and he says, but the older brother says he's makbid, and he's upset, and so he says that's not one of the things that the older brother has the right to be makbid for. He doesn't have the right to. He says, but you're hurting his feelings. He's sad that he hasn't found a shidduch yet, and you have found, so isn't that onoas dvarim? Isn't that hurting somebody else's feelings? He says he's hurting his own feelings. Who told him to get hurt by that? Rav Moshe is a very sensitive individual, saying he didn't like hurting people's feelings, but he says that you don't have to tiptoe around your older brother your whole life just because he's so sensitive. You know, don't do things to hurt his feelings. But getting married is one of the mitzvahs that you have to do. You know, whether you hold like the rush that it's a, you know, hechsher mitzvah, or you hold that it's a mitzvah mamish. But certainly being married and observing all the laws of Piri Verivya and Taras HaMishpacha, those are all real mitzvahs. So you have mitzvahs that you need to do. It's not your fault that your brother is decided to get insulted by that. So it's the same thing also here. The Gol Adam has no right to get angry at you if you didn't do it. So he decided on his own, I'm going to get mad. Okay, so now you're Chayav Misa. You know, you're not allowed to just decide what happened if you don't really know. Okay, anyway, this is all within that one Mahalach of Shmuel Rozovsky. Happens to be the Chazon Ish does not accept... Again, we don't have a copy of the Chazon Ish. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky quotes it. You guys got a chance to see it inside today? At least in the Rav Shmuel? Yeah, okay, so the Chazon Ish apparently has a lengthier piece because I've seen other bits and pieces quoted in other Sfarim. But he has a very interesting idea here. He basically says So he says that, first of all, even though the Rotzeach, the Gol Adam has no rishus to kill the Rotzeach, even though it seems like he's a Rodef, we don't have the right to kill the Gol Adam to save the Rotzeach. How do I know? What's his raya? What does Beis Din do? No, what does Beis Din do for the Rotzeach? Right? They bring him with two Talmidei Chachamim. They bring him with two Rabbanim who are going to try to talk the Gol Adam down. Right? They're going to try to talk him down and calm him down so he doesn't kill the Rotzeach. Yeah? So why not send two bodyguards? And if the guy tries to start up with the Rotzeach, the bodyguards will beat him down. They'll kill him, whatever. Why not do that? So he says, you see a raya from here that they don't have the right to do it. They're not allowed to. They should try to talk him out of it. So what's the pshat here? The pshat is that really the Gol Adam has the right to kill him. He's not allowed to. So what does it mean he's not allowed to? So we said yesterday, it's very hard to say that he's not allowed to minat Torah, right? But we don't kill him for it? Although we'll try to show later that that's true under certain circumstances. I have reason to believe that that doesn't apply here. So we said there is a ritva later on that we're going to discuss at length. And even in the Rambam, it's mashma that way. But I don't think that that applies here. I'll try to remember to tell you why I don't think it applies here when we do it inside. So, but Lamaisa, it's very hard for me to say that Midaraisa, you're not allowed to kill him. But we also don't kill you if you kill him. Right? So if you go with Shmuel Rozovsky's Vard, if it's like an honest Rechmon Apatri, okay, it makes sense, but you're still a murderer. You violated an Issa Ritzicha Doraisa. But what is the Chazon Ish saying? That we don't have the right to stop him? Can't be that he's a regular Rodef going to kill a Nirdaf and we still don't have the right to stop him. We try to convince him? Right? So that's hard to say. So what's the Pshat? What's the Pshat over here? So Lechora, this is only a Din Derabbanan. Really, Midaraisa, after the Gol Adam gets the psak that this guy constitutes a Rotzeach b'shogeg, he has the right to chase down the Rotzeach and kill him. However, why don't we want the guy to do that? What reason would we say that the guy shouldn't do it? What? All right, the Gol Adam's entitled to kill him. Well, that's true. We don't like killing people, but more specifically in this case. So there's a concept called the Ratzon HaTorah. The Ratzon HaTorah, which means that if the Torah tells you a story that's supposed to play out a certain way, so it's clear that the Torah wants the story to play out that way. What does the Torah say is supposed to happen here? The Gol Adam's supposed to kill him? Doesn't say that anywhere. It says if the guy's mazed, the Gol Adam should kill him. If the guy comes out of his city, maybe, according to Rabbi Yosef, clearly the Gol Adam's supposed to kill him. But it says here, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to run to the Yermiklat. That's what it says in the Torah. So the Chacham said, let's try to protect the Ratzon HaTorah. Is it mutter for the Gol Adam to kill him? Yes. But let's try to protect the Ratzon HaTorah anyway. And the Ratzon HaTorah is that he should run to an Ir Miklat. And thus, they don't protect him with bodyguards. They protect him with Talmidei Chachamim to tell the Gol Adam, listen, we understand that you're upset, but he did not do this on purpose. Why are you going to kill him on purpose because of something he did by accident? Oh, he should have been more careful. Ein Achinami, that's why he's going to Golus. But the Torah doesn't want you to kill him. The Torah wants you to let him live. So he's going to throw back all kinds of arguments saying, well, how come the Torah says I'm allowed to kill him? So that's why Yidavka sent Talmidei Chachamim, people that the guy can respect. These guys know how to learn Torah. These guys are able to properly define the Ratzon HaTorah and to try to convince the Gol Adam not to kill him. But does he have the right to do so? Yes. Midaraisa. Midrabanan, we try to take away the mitzias that allows the Gol Adam to kill him by trying to convince him otherwise. So that's the way the Chazon Ish wants to learn. But without bringing in these achronim, I just very much am married to the idea that we've been saying all along that maybe this is totally in the basic machlokas that we had in the Rishonim. I brought this up yesterday. I just want to follow it through a little bit better. Right? If you hold that... Oh, just one more ha'ara in the Chazon Ish before I get back to this. The Chazon Ish also points out that this only applies to the second time around. The first time around, they did give him bodyguards. The first time around, the Gol Adam had no right to kill him, and it would be an Issa Ritzicha. Maybe you could say that he would have been putter had he done it, but he is a Rodef, and you can kill him to stop him. That's the first time around, they did give him bodyguards. The Gemara doesn't mention it, because the Gemara just talks about, he runs there, he comes out. The chances of the Metzias ever playing out, that the Gol Adam finds out in time to kill him before he goes to the Miklat, are small, so the Gemara never really brought it up. But definitely, when we find out what happened, we do give the guy bodyguards to protect him. Okay, that being said, second time around, it's the way the Chazon Ish is outlining it here. Getting back to our machlokas Rishonim. So we said, if you hold like the Ritva and the Ramban, that the guy's mamash chayev misa, so that happens to fit in perfectly with the Chazon Ish, right? Really, he's chayev misa. And the Gol Adam has every right to kill him. When? The second time. Not the first time. The first time he's not chayev anything. Right, we mentioned yesterday the Chakira by Gemar Din. Whether the Gemar Din brings out everything that you... Right, you remember that? I'll take that as definite maybe. Right, is it Mavara that he was always Chayv the whole time? Or no, does it create this Chayvus? Right, so the Chilik that they like to make, Dachron, I think Rabbi Kiva Eger makes this Chilik in the first parak. The difference between Mominus and Nefashus. By Mominus... When do you chayiv the money? As soon as it happened, meaning you're chayiv to pay the money as soon as you stole from the other guy, or as soon as you borrowed from the other guy, or as soon as you were mazik the other guy, you're chayiv to pay right away. So that's why Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, that's why you're allowed to have a gemar din at night for dinei mamonos, because the gemar din is not doing anything; it's just going to enforce that which already. Existed. Mashen Kane, by the Gemara Din for Dina Nefashis, what created this Chayvus? The court case and the Gemara Din that follows that court case. So just as you're not allowed to have be Don Dina Nefashis at night, you're not allowed to give a Gemara Din on Dina Nefashis at night because that's creating this Chayvus over there. The question that's up in the air is, what about Knas? Okay, whatever, that's a different story for a different time. That's what a lot of people hock up. What's the story with Knas? So, but assuming, like we said, that the Gemar Din is created that the Schaivus is created by Shas Gemar Din, of course, if you kill him on his way to the Ermiklet the first time, you are a murderer. Right? You are Meschai ben Afshecha. Whether or not you get killed, okay, maybe yes, maybe no. But the second time, that's what Rav Huna was talking about. Then you're going to be Potter. Right? That's because the guy's Chayav Misa. He's a Gavri Ketila. He's a walking dead man. You killed him because he was Chayav Misa, so you're good to go. We don't want you to kill him because the Torah doesn't say you should kill him. The Torah says what? Run to your Miklat. So that fits in really well with that school of thought in the Rishonim. And then we also understand, according to that, if he leaves the Miklat, why is he killed? Because he was Chayav Misa the whole time. He was Chayav Misa the whole time. The only question is, was it a mitzvah or a reshus to kill him? But he was chayev misa. Right? So there's really, so according to that school of thought, there is no difference between what Rav Huna is saying now and what Rav Huna is saying later. He's just paskening like Rabbi Akiva. He's saying that it's a reshus for the Gol Adam to kill him. Unless you could even throw in a little bit more, as we'll see shortly, that you can't necessarily put the two cases together. But let's hold that thought, though. That's all within the opinion of the Ritva from the Ramban, who say that the guy's chayav misa, but the Shaar Rishonim, the rest of the Rishonim, don't learn that way, like the Rambam and Rashi and everybody else, right? So they say that, like, you have to say something along the lines of Rabbi Shmuel Wazowski saying that really, if you kill him, so of course you're doing the wrong thing. Of course you're chayev. Right? And this machlokas has nothing to do with that machlokas tanoim later on. This is just a tour from onshin, like we've been saying. Right? And therefore, it makes no difference if it's the first time or the second time, because you're not allowed to kill him either time. Right? You're only allowed to kill him when he leaves the Ermikla. Here? So according to that, there's definitely no connection between the two different cases. Okay, I forgot to bring my Ritva. Could somebody lend me a Ritva? Fastest Ritva in the West. Oh, you got the actual page? What page is it?
Page
Lamed Zion. Okay. No, it's not. It's not Lamed Zion. Lamed Pei. Like the. Okay. So you base him at Aleph in the Ritva. Okay. So the first thing he starts off with is he quotes the Rama. He quotes the Yad Rama, whether we're comparing the Machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and the third opinion, which is Marzutra, Bar Tuvia Marav, who also has a basis in Tanoim, who says that if the Gol Adam kills him after he leaves the Ermiklat, he's Chayiv, which is mind-boggling, considering, like, that's the ABCs of you know, Rotzeach Peshogig. Right? The ABCs of Rotzeach Peshogig is whose job is it to kill the Rotzeach? The Gol Adam, right? So apparently he's severely limiting that case. He's saying that the Gol Adam who kills him if he leaves the Ermiklat is Chayev Misa. It's crazy, no? Did you guys notice that when you read the Gemara, that there's somebody who actually holds that way? And it's Rav. Right? It's pretty crazy. Somebody holds that way. Okay, so the Rama right away says, wait a second. Daha pliga de Rav Huna de la'el. He's arguing on Rav Huna. It's a machlokas Rav and Rav Huna. Why? The Amar Rotzeach Shagola Lir Miklato Vahorgo Gol Adam Biderech Potter. The Hash de Hecha Shisigo Baderech Vahorgo Potter. Hecha de Yotza Misham Miboy de Potter? It's a Kavachomer. What's the Kavachomer? If before he goes to the Ermiklat, he's doing exactly what the Torah tells him to do, and the Gol Adam unlawfully chases him down and kills him, is the Gol Adam chayev or potter? He's potter. So kal v'chomer that if the Rotzeach does the wrong thing, leaves the Ermiklat, and the Gol Adam finds him and kills him, is he going to be potter? Of course. Kal v'chomer, if he's potter when the Rotzeach is doing the right thing, he's certainly potter when the Rotzeach is doing the wrong thing. It's poshut. So he's saying Rav Huna is agreeing with either Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and he's definitely disagreeing with Rav and Rav's Tana, upon whom Rav hangs his hat. Right? So that, why does Rav need a Tana? Because Lamaisi is an Amora. Yeah, sometimes. But mostly he's an Amora. Saying, well, there's a, whatever, I don't want to get on a tangent about Rav Tanahu Polig. It seems, if you make a couple of cheshbonos in the Gemara, that the other Amoraim didn't think that Rav was a Tana. So, we try very hard to avoid using that idea, whenever possible. Okay, anyway, the Ritva himself rejects this. He doesn't have a good, he has what he calls a kasha, right? So he says, "V'kasha li heichi lo mefarish la Talmuda," right? So he says he quotes this. I'm sorry, he quoted this in the name of the Ra'ah, as well as the Rama. So his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, also said the same vort, and now, and based on that explanation, it makes a lot of sense to what we've said thus far, right? You could say like the Ramah, and you could say like the Ra'ah, that they're going along the lines of the school of that the guy was Chayav Misa, and therefore it's the same Chayav Misa that existed beforehand, only Kal V'chomer now. Right? That works out very well with our Cheshbon. Now, we were saying the Cheshbon within whom? Within the Ritva. The Ritva is not going to play ball with us. The Ritva is going to change what we have to think about this whole comparison. Because he disagrees with his Rebbe, the Ra'ah. And he says, his Kasha is, how come the Gemara doesn't say any of this? He says, if that's really the Pshat, then it's Iker Chasim and Asefer. He says, V'kashali heichi lo mefarish l'talmudah. How could the Gemara not speak this out? If there's really a connection between Rav Huna on Yudim at Beis and the Tanaim of Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva on Yud Aleph on the Beis and the third sheet of Rav on Yud Beis and Aleph, how could the Gemara not mention any of this? So he says, V'lule or V'ilo demistafina merabusin zal, if I wasn't afraid of my Rebbeim, then I would argue on them as follows. Right? That's always a good line. Right? If I wasn't afraid to say the following, I would say the following. The lo pligi, so it says that they're really not arguing. Didilma beha dehacha mode ravuna de gol adam neragolov, kevan shekvar kol tuhu mechitzos lerotseach v'daito lachzor l'sham. Ooh. He says maybe Rav is just saying his own chiddush. He's not commenting on the general din of running to golos. He has this huge chiddush. What's his chiddush? That once you go into the mikvah and you're planning on staying in the mikvah, a small hiatus doesn't get you killed. It's a very interesting thing. But he's saying maybe that's the pshat in Rav. That it's like, you know, you go to Israel for Yantif. So if you're a Ben Chutzlartz, you're a Ben Chutzlartz. You don't have a home in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. You're just visiting one time. So then you could argue, we spoke out that Chacham Tzvi versus the Mechaber and the Avkas Rochel as to whether or not you're supposed to keep 2 days or 1 day. Okay, so you could have a machlokas about how many days you're supposed to keep. But if you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael, there's no machlokas. It's only a machlokas because you're a Ben Chutzlartz. Ah, you're in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't change the fact that you're a Ben Chutzlartz. You live in Chutzlartz. Your home is in Chutzlartz. You have a real estate in Chutzlartz. You don't have any Eretz Yisrael. Right? Like not getting involved in what makes you a Ben Eretz Yisrael. It's a different story. So here you're a Ben Ir Miklat. You live in the Ir Miklat. You have a shame Ben Ir Miklat on you. You heard that your favorite men's store was having a sale and you really need a new suit. So you run out of the Ir Miklat to go to your favorite store. So okay, you should have shopped online. You know, you should have found another way to get it done. Sof kol sof, you're not going to be chayav misa for that. And if the Gol Adam finds you and kills you, he killed a Ben Ir Miklat. And that's not okay. That's Kiilu, he went into the Ir Miklat and killed you himself. Like that. And that's the pshat in Rav, perhaps, says the Ritva. So he says, according to that, Rav and Rav Huna could totally agree with one another. Because Rav Huna is talking about before he gets to the Ir Miklat. So you can't get a Chal Hashem Ben Ir Miklat if you've never even been there. Right? It's like Rav Yudah Ali, B'chol Makom Shani Holech, Ani Holech L'Eretz Yisrael. Right? Okay, but Sof Kol Sof, if you've never even been to Eretz Yisrael, you can't keep saying that. You know? So if you're Rav Yudah Levi and you're mamish living, you know, in the times of the Rishonim and it's impossible to get from point A to point B and you're working your whole life to schlep over there, I hear the Taina. But if you go to Florida and the Bahamas and Aruba and all these different places and their flights are just as expensive and they're just as time consuming, etc., so like okay, after a while you're not called a Ben Eretz Yisrael anymore. So you're not called a Ben Ir Miklat if you've never been to the Ir Miklat. You know you have to at least go. Once you go and you're koveh yourself, then if you leave for a little bit, maybe you're still a Ben Ir Miklat. So that's what he wants to say. And now he takes it further and he says, V'hu adin shayi efshar lomar da'afilu Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yosi damar hacha she'eino nerag havu amri hasam nerag. Maybe Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili who say that when the guy leaves their miklat, he is, the Gol Adam's allowed to kill him or mitzuvah to kill him. So they say he's Eino Nerag in that case. Maybe they would argue on Rav Huna and say when he's going to the Ir Miklat, that's when the Gol Adam is Chayav Misa. Why? The shiny hacha she posha harotzeach ba'atzmo lotzeis chutz limiklato, because the rotzeach demonstrated a pshia in his own life by leaving the Ir Miklat. Mashen kin hasam shahaya boreach limiklato, right? Mashen kin over there that he was running to the Ir Miklat. Aina de parachasam adravuna v'lo kimna b'tanoi de hacha klal, and that's why they asked kashas on Rav Huna, and they didn't mention Rabbi Akiva, they didn't mention Rosi Aglili over there at all. So he has a wild shot here, which changes around everything. He says, maybe Rav Huna actually argues on Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva would say, if the Gol Adam kills him on his way to the Ir Miklat, then he is Potter, he's Chayiv Misa, because he was trying to get to the Ir Miklat. Mashen Kane, if you say that he kills him on his way out of the Ir Miklat, there he was Poshea Benafsho, so he is Potter. So let me ask you a question. Does this slug up our entire Mahalach and the Ritva in general? Is this a big stira in the words of the Ritva? It sounds from here that what's the reason Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva hold you're allowed to kill him when he leaves the Ir Miklat? Because he was Poshea Benafsho. Right? But not because he was already Chayav Misa and now he just went back to his original status. And who had Dinami if he was on his way to the Ir Miklat? So you're not allowed to kill him. I is Chayav Misa. Right? So this sounds like it could be a major league stira, one of two possibilities. Either we're learning the Ritva wrong, or which is impossible. No, I'm saying we have proof in the words of the Ritva that that's what he says. So, or it's a stira in the Ritva, that the Ritva is Soser himself on Daf Beis and here. That's also a possibility. So I don't think it's a stira, and I don't think it proves that we're learning the Ritva wrong. Because the Ritva is... No. That's too easy. Anyway, I think it's pretty poshut that it's not a stira. I think that the Ritva here is saying that there are farther-reaching dinim that apply to an Ir Miklat than you might think. It's a chiddush within the din of Ir Miklat. It's not a chiddush within the din of when he's chayav misa and when he's not. The Ir Miklat can becolate you even when you're not in it. In other words, that's what the Machlokes Tanoim is about. There's a three-way Machlokes Tanoim on Yud Aleph Amud Beis / Yud Beis Amud Aleph about a Rotzeach who leaves the Ir Miklat. Is that totally on the Iker Din of Rotzeach B'Shogeg? The answer is no. It's a separate, localized Machlokes about whether or not the Ir Miklat has the ability to protect someone even when he's not in it. According to Rav and his Tana, I don't think the Gemara ever says who the Tana is. It just says he holds like the Tana of the following Brisa. It doesn't say who that Tana is, I don't think. I heard Rabbi Tarfon. Does it speak out Rabbi Tarfon? I think the Rishonim call that Rabbi Tarfon. Does it say anywhere in the Gemara that that's Rabbi Tarfon? If you look in the Gemara and you base him at Aleph, so it says, It's Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Tarfon. It does say it. Okay, so Rav is holding like Rabbi Eliezer. So you have a three-way machlokes tanoim. And that Machlokes Tanaim, according to the Ritva, is about how far-reaching the Ir Miklat can be. According to Rabbi Eliezer, once you get a Shem Ben Ir Miklat, you're protected for life. What do you mean for life? Until you're mafkia the Shem Ben Ir Miklat from yourself. How are you mafkia that Shem? If you set up shop elsewhere, clearly you're not a Ben Ir Miklat anymore. Right? That's one stage. Then stage, that's one possibility. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili say, maybe there's a different way that you can call yourself a Ben Ir Miklat. How so? So they argue on what I said before. I said, if you say, B'chol makom shani olech, ani olech l'Eretz Yisrael, so that means it doesn't make you a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili say, yes, it does. If you're mamish on your way, and it's truly b'chol makom shani holeich, then fine. You are a ben Eretz Yisrael. You are a ben Ir Miklat. If you're running to the Ir Miklat, you're a ben Ir Miklat. And that already, if you're already setting up shop, even if you haven't made it into the city yet, you're a ben Ir Miklat. Let's say you leave. What kind of ben Ir Miklat leaves the Ir Miklat? The shame ben Ir Miklat doesn't mean that you live there. It means that you plan on being there to fill out your sentence. So you're doing everything in your power to make yourself a ben Ir Miklat. If you leave the Ir Miklat even to go to a sale at your favorite store, that's mafkia, the shame ben Ir Miklat. A ben Ir Miklat is someone who follows the dinim of a rotzeach b'shogeg and goes to the Ir Miklat and stays there. They define ben Ir Miklat differently. That's the machlokas tanaim. Nothing to do with what's the geder of a rotzeach b'shogeg after the gemar din. Avada and avada, they all hold, like we've been saying the whole time, that the Ritva says that he's chayav misa, right? Unless he's in the Ir Miklat. He can be protected by the Ir Miklat. How do you define protected by the Ir Miklat? Okay, then we can talk. That's a three-way machlokas tanaim. That's perhaps the pshat in this Ritva and why it's not a steerer between the Ritva over here and the Ritva over there. I don't know. It's possible. It's a possibility. Yeah?
When the Kohen Gadol dies, what like takes it? Like, what does it cancel? Does it get rid of the...
The Gemara, I mean, it's pretty clear that it says that he got his kapara. That's his full-fledged kapara, right? We didn't spend any time on this Gemara. We should have. Maybe we can in the coming days if we get far enough along. But basically, the Gemara seems to say on Yud Aleph Amud Beis that his kapara comes from the Mises Kohen Gadol. Right? That's the first Gemara in the Mishnah on the new Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. My time, Amar Abaye Kavachomer. Uma Misha Gola Kvar Yotza Achshav. Misha Lo Gola Eino Din Shelo Yigla. V'Dilma Hay De Gola Echaper Le Hay De Lo Gola Lo Right Hay De Lo Gola Lo Mi De Gola Is Kama Chaper. I'm sorry. Lo. Period. Right. So he says maybe if going on the Mishnah's case of if the Kohen Gadol dies after the Gemar Din, but you didn't actually go to Gola, so the Mishnah said you don't actually have to go. And the reason is that the Mises Kohen Gadol is Mechapi. But they say, no, but you never went to Golis. You never got your Kapara. So the Gemara answers in a rhetorical fashion, Midi Golis ka Mechapra? Mises Kohen ud Mechapra. No, the Iker Kapara, or the last straw of the Kapara, you can look in the Rishonim on that line. They don't say that. Of course, the Golis is the Kapara, there's no question. But the last, the Gemar Din of the Kapara is the Mises Kohen Gadol. Right? So Lamaisa, again, it's that requires its own shir to understand in context, because again, the Gemara hasn't indicated anywhere, including Daf Beis, Daf Yud Beis, that the Kohen Gadol is the kapara. Sounds from everywhere the Golis is the kapara, the Onish is the kapara. Right? It's hard to say that what really the pshat is there. Okay, so that's a different story for a different time. But Lamaisa, there is some aspect, major aspect of kapara in the Mises Kohen Gadol. I don't know. All right, that is, I think, a good way to analyze this Shita of Rav Huna. What time is it? All right, so just to give you a heads up for tomorrow I want to work on the Machlokas Tanaim that we've been discussing between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Glili, and specifically the two Girsos that exist in Rabbi Akiva about Shar Kol Adam, right? What's the status of Shar Kol Adam if they kill the Rotzeach that leaves the Ir Miklat? Are they Chayav Misa or are they Potter? And is there a possibility for the idea that I've been rejecting up until now of Lechachila, you're not allowed to kill him, B'dieved, you're not Chayav Misa if you killed him, not based on Anas Rachmana Patre? Because there's no way you can say that there's Anas Rachmana Patre on a Stama guy. Or Stam, a guy who sees him is going to be so angry. How dare you violate the Ratzon Hashem and not stay in the Ir Miklat and kill him? That's an example of someone who's getting himself angry, not somebody who the Torah gets him angry. So clearly we're not talking that's the case. So we'll have to work on that. So if you look just on the daf, you'll see the Masoras Ashas in the margin there quotes the Girsa, right, against our Gemara. The Agos Agra and Os Aleph is against the Girsa and Ar Gemara. Pretty much all the Rishonim, except for one or two, don't have the Girsa of Ar Gemara. Our Gemara's Girsa that their Chayav Misa is from the Maharshal, that he changes out, he changes it, but and they fight back and forth of what the Ikar Mashmos is. But this, the two different Girsos are mentioned in the Rishonim, meaning even Rishonim will have our Girsa, are acknowledge the fact that there was a different Girsa going around. So we'll have to explain both of them a little bit. And there's a major machlokus achronim as to how to understand the idea that the rotzeach is a gavra ketila, and therefore anyone who kills him is either putter as a rishus or is, you know, putter b'dieved. What makes him into a gavra ketila? There's a very nice shtickle Torah by Rabbi Shlomo Eger. I'll try to get you a copy of that. It's quoted in the Drush v'Chiddush Rabbi Kiva Eger on Ksuvus. And there's a Briska Rav who argues on him and a couple of nafkaminis between them. So we'll try to work on that in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. All right, have a good day, guys.